You're listening to the Live Happier Longer podcast,
episode 22.
Welcome to the Live Happier Longer podcast. We're your hosts, Molly Watts
and Angela McDade. We are here to help you build the habits of a happier, longer life.
Starting now. This episode is brought to you by the 5 for Life Planner.
Or if it makes you feel better, 5 for Life Planner / Journal.
Right. So you can go right now to 5forlifeplanner.com and download a full PDF version of the 5 for Life Planner / Journal.
Yeah. And the 5 for Life Planner is a great tool to get you going and check off every day these daily actions. 1, move.
2, learn.
3, share.
4, give.
And 5, let go.
5 daily actions all proven to increase longevity and improve overall quality of life and happiness.
Yeah, so you can live happier longer.
Yeah. Check it out, 5forlifeplanner.com for your free PDF of the 5 for Life Planner. Hey, Angela.
Hey, Molly.
How's it going?
Not too bad.
Excellent. Well, we are still in January, our month of talking about
healthy eating.
Healthy eating, yeah. So I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like hot dogs?
Not really.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I didn't grow up with hot dogs. It's a very American thing, so it wasn't like a staple.
Yeah, definitely. And, like a good hot dog at a baseball game, loaded with onions.
With ketchup and mustard.
Oh, yeah, onions.
Well, see, that's controversial, apparently.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a huge ketchup person, but onions, relish,
the green stuff,
and mustard. Oh my gosh, so good. So today on the podcast, we're talking to health and aging trainer Tina Tyszynski from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a Chicago girl, so she grew up eating hot dogs. And now she is a 90% plant-based diet.
Yep.
And so we wanted to have her on to talk about that kind of that vegetarian, plant-based approach to healthy eating, because we know it's in blue zones, it's something that's just a lot of, in terms of longevity, there's a lot of science behind it.
And just how it affects her and how it changed her, really changed her whole life. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very interesting. So here's Tina Tyszynski. Hey, Tina.
Hi, Tina.
Hi there. How are you?
Oh, we're awesome. Thank you. We're so excited to talk with you today.
I'm so excited to talk with you guys. Thank you so much for having me as a guest.
Absolutely. We just gave you a little intro in our intro and talked a little bit about your work helping other people with their fitness and their lifestyle goals and how you help people kind of age well and your website, Perennial Aging, and what that's all about. But one of the reasons that we wanted to talk with you today, as you know, we've been focusing this month on healthy eating choices and healthy lifestyle or healthier eating. We don't like to say the word diet.
I agree.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of different, our focus is mainly on longevity and living happier longer. There's a lot of different ways to approach a healthier diet. And so we never want to come down, we didn't want to pick one, basically.
Yeah,
we
didn't. Because different things work for different people. So,
Plus diets are short term.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so one of the reasons that I love you and I connected via Instagram, and I love your Instagram feed because you always have the most beautiful pictures of food.
Yeah. Thank you so much. A pleasure to hear.
Which is awesome. And one of the things that I got from that is that you basically live about a 90% plant-based diet.
Yes.
That's really what I wanted to talk about, was that decision to kind of lead a more, a more vegetarian or plant-based diet, and how you are helping people, how you're seeing that work for other people as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So because you're a Chicago girl, I know you used to eat hot dogs. I love a good Chicago hot dog. So I can appreciate that. My sister lives in outside of Chicago, so I totally get that.
Okay, great. Where does she live?
LaGrange.
I'm a Western suburban girl myself. So
okay, awesome.
I grew up in the city, but
now you're in the suburbs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when did you decide, or how long ago was this, that you decided to kind of, you know, focus more on a healthier plant-based diet, or just a healthier sure. lifestyle in general?
Okay, well, it's going to be a little bit of a long, can I tell you like kind of the whole chronological thing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Because yeah. I mean, I feel
we got
like
time.
Yeah, my life has been phases, if that makes sense. So
yeah.
I've always been kind of a healthy eater. I was lucky enough to grow up in an Italian and Polish family. And both of my grandmothers loved to cook from scratch. So that was great. That was a really great background for me, as my mother and father, especially my dad, was a real love to cook as well and experiment. So
that's probably why you like to cook. You still yeah. like to cook now, and you always have such nice
yeah,
photos.
Always, always. I grew up watching my grandma cook, and we lived about 3 blocks from my grandmother's house. Oh. And so after school, sometimes I would go there straight from school, or I'd meet my mom there, or my mom and I would go there. We had dinner there probably 3-4 times a week. And my grandmother always had something going, like Mondays were chicken soup day. So you could run, and you know, it was a typical Chicago bungalow with, like, you know, the top floor and then the basement. My grandpa had fixed up for her to be another kitchen, you know, because Italians uh-huh. always entertain quite a bit. So you never really knew how many people were going to be sitting there at the table that evening.
How fun. How wonderful.
But she'd always make huge pots of chicken soup on Mondays with fresh veggies. So I'd look forward to coming in, you know, on a cold day and having a big bowl of chicken soup. I'd be like, Grandma, is it soup yet? And she'd be like, not just yet, you know, but all the veggies were in there, and she made like her own Italian beef and her own pastas and her own salads. And then I had another aunt because, I always joke about it. Hopefully no one from my family will hear this, but you know, the Italian family, we only had one person out of all, what was it, 5 of them that got married. My mom, my 2 aunts, and my 2 uncles always lived at home with my grandma, you know, the oh. typical. And so it was always a party over there. And wow. My one aunt, she was kind of into health and yoga kind of before it was really popular. So she was really a huge influence because she would always make me romaine salads when I was a kid. So I was probably this weird kid in the 60s that was eating, you know, chunks of romaine with salt and vinegar on it. You know, other kids are right. eating like who knows what. And yeah, so I mean, that kind of was like the basis a little bit for my eating. So I would say that I probably always had a healthy appreciation for veggies. Mm-hmm. Because I think I've seen them being cooked in different ways. They weren't just the typical, you know, corn or green giant, you know, carrots yeah. or whatever. I've seen them cooked in a lot of different ways. So that gave me a healthy appreciation. So, you know, one thing for me is that I always grew up having vegetables in some way or form. And so it wasn't difficult. I always, you know, always ate them. Mm-hmm. So I think that as I was in my 20s, the thing is that I wasn't blessed with the same genes that my mom and dad were, because when I started to hit puberty, I started to gain weight. And I was, you know, probably at my heaviest in high school. And I wouldn't say I was anything huge or anything, but I was definitely about 5 or 6 sizes heavier than I am now.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that I wasn't happy, you know, and we moved in my freshman year of high school from Chicago out to the suburbs. And I think I, you know, was probably, I don't want to say depressed, but I was definitely shy at that point, and I didn't really know anybody. So I think eating also became something of, you know, happiness for me that first year mm-hmm. when I struggled a little bit with being out in the burbs. So anyway, to make a long story short, when I got to college, I just decided, you know, this is not how I want to live my life. I wasn't happy. And that kind of started my whole health and fitness journey. I've always had a preference for eating fish and healthier meats and things, and I've always cooked from scratch. So as I started getting older, I think the shift has changed more from just thinking about food as a way to be thin, which of course in my 20s was my huge, if you'd ask me what my inspiration was, it was definitely that. I wanted to be really thin, you know, mm-hmm. and I knew that I had to watch what I ate. So it wasn't even so much about the quality of the food, although yeah, I still was eating a lot of veggies.
Nutritional factor, yeah.
Yeah, but it was more about like, okay, you know, I want to really be thin. As I started aging a little bit, and as I started having, you know, a child of my own and a family, you know, I started getting more into, okay, what am I serving them? So there's mm-hmm. kind of several pivotal points of my life. I think that number one, as you get older, you have to reassess what you're doing in your life. things that may have worked for me. I could have maybe had 2 hot dogs a week when I was in my 20s, and now I can't. If I inhale one, I feel like I can see it automatically, you know? And so definitely just maintaining my weight at this age is a lot more difficult, even though I'm working out every day. So that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But also it's how I feel too. So there's been different changes in my life that have led me to this path. And I think probably the pivotal thing. So I've always kind of believed in a Mediterranean diet. I think that eating fish and a lot of vegetables and wine and things like that are really good for you. I love the Mediterranean lifestyle. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I did cook a lot of that. We had a lot of salmon and salmon veggies, you know, fish, chicken, things like that. But then I started noticing there was 2 things that happened. I started noticing, number one, that I was feeling really bloated and exhausted after I ate. Mm-hmm. So I'd eat a dinner that wasn't anything unhealthy. It might have just been grilled salmon and a sweet potato and broccoli. But I still felt like my digestive system just wasn't working really well with it. So that was happening. And then my husband had started having, and he was never really into the whole like exercise or fitness thing until we met in our early 30s. But, you know, I've kind of pushed him along, and now he works out all the time, and he's really into health and fitness too. But I think that he started having some medical issues with his digestive system as well that were fairly serious. And we had gone to the doctors and things and had some tests done and stuff. And they're like, well, you need to eliminate gluten. You need to do this. You need to do that. Right. Mm-hmm. And then if it doesn't work, we can try some medication. And okay. So I just want to kind of put this out there. I think modern medicine is absolutely wonderful. I mean, we die without it, right? It's mm-hmm. the greatest thing that's ever happened. But I also think that we can't rely too much on just taking drugs for every single little thing. We also have mm-hmm. to advocate for our own health. Mm-hmm. And part of that is making sure that we're doing a healthy, you know, diet and exercising and things like that. Because there are side effects, there are costs and risks and benefits to every single thing that we do out there. So we wanted to try everything possible to make sure that he was doing what he needed to do to be healthy. At the same time, I felt that I was also feeling yucky a little bit, mm-hmm. like not as good as I used to feel. So, you know, it was like December, and I thought to myself, you know, so many people are completely vegan and they love it. You know, you see all these people have gone vegan and they've lost all this weight. They feel fabulous. I'm like, maybe we should try it. So I knew my husband is like a huge carnivore. He loves ribs and he loves brisket. And I'm like, okay, I have to couch how I say this.
This is a big sale.
He's like, what? What? And that was exactly what he did. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, let's just try it in the new year. And so what I did, again, kind of like that whole hot dog thing, is I thought, you know what? When people go cold turkey over something, it's always really difficult to do, right? You hear people in January, oh, I'm going to do this challenge. I'm going to do this diet. I'm going to do all this. And then you see them in March and they've gained back maybe the 5 pounds that they lost and they're back to trying to figure out what to do. Because it's really difficult to change your life completely. You have to allow, I think we've all talked about moderation on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You also have to find something that works for you in your day-to-day life. So what I said to him is I said, you know what? Monday through Thursday, Monday through Friday, let's do all vegetarian, mostly vegan. I mean, because we're not 100% vegan. We do allow eggs. Mm-hmm. But let's try and really push for doing mostly vegetarian, vegan meals during the week. And on Saturday and Sunday, you can do whatever you want. If you want to have, you know, a full slab of ribs and brisket and whatever, that's great. But then come Monday, we'll go back to our vegetarian thing. And he kind of thought about it, and he's like, okay, I can live with that. Mm-hmm. So initially, it was going to be a short term. We were just going to try it for maybe a month or two and see how he felt. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I also knew that in order for this to really work, because I do love to cook, and even when I was cooking with fish or chicken, I would try different recipes and things. I knew that the only way it was going to work is if I did something else. I couldn't just serve him salads, right?
Yeah.
That gets really boring and that's hard to maintain. So I started buying some vegetarian and vegan cookbooks, and I basically started trying to come up with creative ways to take favorite dishes that people eat. What do people eat all the time? Now, how can I make them mostly plant-based or vegan? And that's what I started doing. And you know what? It turned out that the food we were eating was really so tasty.
Yeah.
And we felt so good. Mm-hmm. And then when Saturday and Sunday came, we could still go out to eat and we could still get fish or chicken or whatever we wanted. So it was great. You know, holidays come around and you allow yourself to treat yourself with something. I mean, I'm not going to have turkey on Thanksgiving, but I would say that even when we do something that might have meat, I would say 90% of our plate is still plant-based. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. fantastic. We talk about Blue Zones quite a bit. We've talked about it on the podcast. We talked about it on our website. And a lot of those areas, they are known for their Mediterranean style diet or their plant-based diet.
Right, exactly.
And again, it's not entirely, kind of what you're saying, it's not entirely vegetarian. You know, like they eat cheese and eggs.
Right.
You know,
right. So
there's some deviation from...
Yeah, exactly. They do little meat. Mostly mm-hmm. fish, cheeses, yeah. And mm-hmm. I do feel like that's a really good recipe for life.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Seventh-day Adventist who... Very
and Loma
famous,
Linda.
Yeah, who just passed away recently. Mm-hmm. He passed away at the age of 100 some... I don't know if he's 100.
Yeah, that's fabulous. Isn't it?
But the Blue Zones, they are known for their high rate of centenarians and people that live to 100.
Sure.
But he was one of the most influential people with the Blue Zones guy. The reason I'm bringing it up is that he was a surgeon, a vascular surgeon, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and he switched to a plant-based, to a vegetarian diet.
Okay, interesting.
After he felt the arteries of vegetarians in surgery mm-hmm. were much more flexible wow. and pliable than the meat eaters.
Yeah. So like he physically could see, people's insides.
Exactly.
Yeah. So he decided then to switch to mm-hmm. a vegetarian plant-based diet.
That's great evidence to make you mm-hmm. a great reason, right? To make you start to consider it. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us, I know, like I said, you always have great, recipes and great stuff on, your social and on your blog. What was one of the, tell me about one of your very first attempts and one of your very first dishes, like trying to convert it from, a meat-based recipe mm-hmm. to a plant-based recipe.
Okay. So one thing I always tell clients when I'm working with them or anybody who asks me about it is that find yourself a good cookbook at first. Because I, again, growing up in a family that cooked, I don't use recipes really in mm-hmm. real life when I'm working with something.
Of course you don't. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. My grandmother never really used recipes, but I knew it's like baking. Okay. If I'm going to start baking if I want to cook a cuisine that I don't really know much about, let's say I want to start cooking Indian food, for example, I can't just start. I need to have a background of some science behind it. And what are the popular spices and what do you do? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I have to go to the bookstore and I have to get a couple of cookbooks to kind of give me some hacks. What do people use? Because there's different things. Like, for example, I recently started doing some vegan baking. And one of the things I learned, although we do use eggs in our household, one of the things I learned is that a substitute for eggs is flaxseed eggs, which is just simply taking flaxseed and mixing it with water, and that's kind of gelatinous and it helps to bind things. So mm-hmm. I knew that I needed to get some hacks because I know there's mm-hmm. a lot of different things.
Because the thing is, applesauce another substitute?
Yes, applesauce as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you kind of have to know those things. And mm-hmm. and so I bought Thug Kitchen, which is a very popular cookbook for vegans. And they're really funny. And I thought they were snarky. They have a little bit of a snarky attitude. And I just thought, you know what? There's really fun recipes in here. There are things that I can make for a party. So that's what I bought. And I think one of the first things I ever tried is they had a squash and black bean enchilada. And mm-hmm. it sounded simply fabulous. And oh my God, it was so good. And my husband, when he had it, was like, wow, this is really good, because he loves Mexican food, but he would typically come home with a big, ground beef steak burrito that was like the size of a football. And he was like, gosh, this is really good. I could eat this all the time. Mm-hmm. And it was. And you know what? I would say the one thing I do remember after having that was that I felt so good after I ate. There was no bloat. There was no feeling sluggish. I felt like it was fuel for my body. Like I could just, like the next day I went and worked out, I felt fabulous. You know, it was like the whole thing where your body is an engine and you're treating it with like premium gasoline, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was hooked. And yeah.
So do you do dairy? Do you do cheese?
Well, I do a little bit of cheese. And so here's the thing. I also have IBS. Mm-hmm. Not a really bad case, as some people do, but I do have irritable bowel syndrome, and dairy is one of my triggers. So concurrently, I've had to kind of work around some of my food allergies, because I also have respiratory allergies. So dairy has always been something that has been very limited in my life because of my food and respiratory allergies. Dairy is very mm-hmm. mucus producing, mm-hmm. and so it causes me to wheeze a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, and I get really bad stomach aches. And so as a kid, I used to love ice cream. But now that I'm older, I can kind of remember always having really bad stomach aches immediately after having ice cream. Now I can make that association. So anyway, yeah, I don't really do dairy except for hard cheeses and butter.
Okay.
Because hard cheeses are, the older the cheese, the more aged the cheese, the less to little or to no lactose that they actually contain. Okay. So I love like blue cheeses, like aged blue cheeses or brie, things that have veins in it. So I can do something like a moldy cheese like that because it doesn't bother my stomach, right?
Okay.
So those
enchiladas didn't have cheese.
Those really?
Okay. So I'm like, okay, now I'm going to have to look up that recipe. I want to know.
Yeah. I'll send it to you, Molly. They did not have cheese. No.
My whole thought process is like what that's why I asked. Well, no, like I could do vegetarian, but I would mm-hmm. want to put cheese all over everything.
Well, yeah. And you know what, Molly, you're exactly like my husband, because that's what he said the second time. He's like, well, can you sprinkle a little cheese on there? And I'm like, yeah, I can't. So again, I try to make things very approachable. I'm not going to say, And to be honest, it's one thing that I have several friends who also are plant-based mostly. And one of the things we talk about is how people could be are really into like labels, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you're a vegetarian, but then you put something on your Instagram post that might have bison in it or cheese. I mean, there are people who will like go all after you. Like, well, how can you say you're plant-based when you're eating that? And it's like, I feel like in our country, in our world right now, we're so into like divisiveness that mm-hmm. if people would just accept each other, why can't you be mostly plant-based? If we were more like forgiving and allowing of people to try things without committing, we'd probably see a lot more healthy people. And that's kind of what mm-hmm. my thought is, you know what? If you really love cheese, that's great. Do cheese. But if 90% of your plate is plants,
yeah.
and those plants are mostly and green veggies, you're yeah. still like eating a lot healthier than
yeah,
most
it's
people.
Plant
right?
based. The base of your diet is plants. Right. You know, it's as like
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. By the way, I love your accent.
Thanks. Isn't it fun?
That's adorable.
I know. Thank you for bringing it up. It's been so, honestly, I used to like tease her about it
all the time.
Yeah, pretty much every episode I'd have to bring it up. But I'm used to. I mean, I've known her for much longer than just the podcast, but I'm just, you know, I used to bring it up in our podcast all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't bring it up all the time. So
now I'm assuming it's an Irish brogue, right?
It's Scottish.
Scottish. Okay.
See, I did that.
I love Irish and Scottish brogues so much. I feel like there's a part of me that might have some Irish blood or something, because I just always tell my husband, I love it.
If it's Chicago, there's a good chance.
Yeah, there's some.
Yeah, well, and actually, one of my best friends growing up in Chicago was Irish, and her family was from Ireland, so they all had the Irish brogues, and yeah. So, anyway, I love your accent.
I love this, and I love your enthusiasm for it, and I think you're absolutely right. I mean, look at you. You're like squarely right in the heart of the Midwest, and that is, you know, Angus beef country. I know this. I grew up in Iowa, so I'm a farm girl. You know, we're talking,
yep.
you know, meat and potatoes, right? The
yep.
the corn belt. So it's great that you're approaching the idea of incorporating a plant-based diet. I love the idea. I love the thought of having it, you know, just trying it for the Monday through Thursday, you know, everybody right. can commit to attempting to do something. And just like you said, even if you're working at 90% of your plate being plant-based, you're still going to be better off. Even mm-hmm. if you're still right. got to, you know, even if you still have
some kind of meat on there,
meat with yeah. you as well.
Well, and you think of some of the Asian cuisines. I mean, you look at some of the Chinese dishes, for example, they still have a little bit of pork or chicken or beef, but mm-hmm. it's, you know, 95% of it is vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And then they have small little slivers of maybe a chicken or a beef in a lot of their mm-hmm. dishes, which mm-hmm. is such a healthy way to eat. And that yeah. is the thing that, so we've kind of struggled with that a little bit because it is, I will say that the cons of it are that it can be difficult to get your protein. Mm-hmm. Being that I have some digestive issues, there's been somewhat of a struggle because there's a lot of beans I cannot do. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I can do chickpeas fine, I could do black beans, but there are certain types of beans that just do not react well with my body nor my husband's. So that's tough. He can't do tofu. Mm-hmm. Because again, it can be gas producing and stuff. So he has issues with that. So
I can't do tofu either, but it has yeah. nothing to do with it. Yeah, exactly. I just right. don't like it. Yeah. Neither one of us.
And actually I do like tofu, but really? I understand his thing. So, mm-hmm. so that's been the struggle. And I had a chiropractor that I actually did some marketing for. And he was like, if you come in my office and you tell me that you don't eat, you know, that you're a veggie or you're not eating a lot of protein, I'm not going to work with you because your bones aren't going to heal if you're not getting enough of the amino acids. Mm-hmm. And while it is true that you can get that as a vegetarian, you certainly can, you do have to be mindful of it and you do mm-hmm. have to be eating a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something that we have to be mindful of. We have to make sure that we have enough nuts around the house and that mm-hmm. I'm throwing something like that. So that's why I feel also doing it like a Friday through Sunday kind of thing, we're getting some protein because right. our bodies aren't really like, I had this explained to me by a doctor once. It's not like your body is telling, I mean, hours are kind of a construct of humans, right? Mm-hmm. Your body doesn't really think in terms of 24 hours or whatever. So when you're thinking about calories or weight loss, it's kind of like not a mass of things, but it's over a couple of days. Mm-hmm. So that's what I try to think of is make sure, I mean, we think of our days is like, I have to drink 8 glasses of water and I've got to have this many calories, but that's kind of a guideline because really what is 24 hours? That's something that we made up mm-hmm. by the sun, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I try to do is I just try to look at it as a weekly basis. If I'm getting enough protein over the week and all that, then I feel I'm doing good. There are some people, I've worked with some clients that really have trouble, not eating meat, or they have trouble with getting other sources of protein. Mm-hmm. So what they've done and what's worked for them is I'm like, you know, do it at dinner then. Have your whole day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. be completely plant-based. And then at your nighttime meal, just have a little bit of protein. Mm-hmm. Can you commit to that? Mm-hmm. So the thing is it's really about trying to define what works for your psychology and your life. Mm-hmm. I feel.
And it's back to you were saying like some beans don't work for you. I know that my oldest daughter is vegetarian and anything I make that has meat in it, I'd make the whole dish the same, but instead of putting meat in hers, I would use like 2 different types of beans. But everything else, the seasoning, everything else is the same and I would use a veggie stock or something. So you know, for you, that wouldn't work. But for her, that's what I do. I just replace the meat with 2 different beans in it.
And that's perfect. And mm-hmm. you know, today on my Instagram post, I put an Asian salad, a Thai salad. And it was something that I made over the weekend. And my husband wanted beef because it was the weekend and I wanted tuna. So mm-hmm. everything else was exactly the same in terms of, you know, the veggies and the way it was being prepared. It's just that I had, you know, I seared his beef first, took that off and seared my tuna, but the assemblage, everything else, all the veggies were exactly the same. So mm-hmm. it is possible. And it's really not that much extra work if you have to accommodate a vegan or vegetarian or different proteins. But, mm-hmm. you know, again, it's about finding what's best for you, but make sure that 90% of your plate is filled with veggies. And when I also say that, I also like to also insist that I think another pitfall a lot of people get into when they're vegetarian or vegan is they substitute a lot of their meat with carbohydrates such as potatoes and starches, because you do get hungry. And that was something that, so we, this was probably about 4 years ago that we started this vegetarian thing. And so for the first 6 months, I actually had signed up through Weight Watchers online because I wanted to kind of track to see what I was doing in terms of calories, points, or whatever. But then I, you know, after I kind of got the hang of what I was doing and how many grams of this and that and my macros were and stuff, I let that go. And what I did notice is that sometimes we would use potatoes and rice a lot more in our, I would, because I'm the one cooking, I would use it more to fill us up and to make the meal more varied. So it wasn't just a salad. And I also, I feel that sometimes we do fall into that trap, and that can be a source of belly fat and bloating and weight gain as well. So this, the last probably 6 months, we've been doing more carb cycling in addition to doing the mostly vegetarian, because, you know, I'm trying to be more creative and come up with different ways of making our meals without relying on just carbohydrates as the base.
Does that make sense? Oh, absolutely. That's a good point. You know, in the various conversations, like I said, we've had this month, I think that the carbohydrate conversation has been really on the forefront with just about everybody. Whether it's the processed foods and the taking, you know, because that's really
and then
just
the
like
sugar
carbs
content.
The sugar content, of course, and the carbohydrate situation. But I can see, as in a vegetarian world, where rice and potatoes would, you know, would be an easy
could make up
yeah, right
exactly, big part of your plate
and you don't want to fall into that either, because that isn't, you know, those are not a health, those are basically carbohydrate, you know, they're basically sugar inside the body, so they're just going to convert into, and so that would be, I could see that not being something you would want to rely on either. But that's interesting that, you know, you've, it's so great to hear. I mean, that's 4 years. I didn't really know that it had been that long that you guys have been doing this, but that's so that's really awesome.
So it works. And one thing I did, I wanted to circle back to, Molly, you brought that good point, is that I think too, when people try to go vegetarian, you know, another principle that we try to live with here is to eat real food and mostly plant-based. I mean, it's like what, you know, Michael Pollan kind of goes by. That was one of the books I read years ago that was pivotal for me, and that was grown from the ground, right? So there are people who will go vegetarian, but then they'll buy a boxed processed vegetarian or vegan food, which isn't good for you. So I don't care if it's vegetarian, if all you're doing is eating boxed, you know, vegetarian food and you're eating cheese all day. Yeah, it's vegetarian, but it's still not plant-based. So that's why I like that word plant-based. I mean, you should eat a lot of different plants, leafy greens, cauliflower, things like that, because Mother Nature provides it with all these different colors and antioxidants. And that's what really is going to promote your health and make you strong from the inside out.
Right. And that's what it's all about, getting strong on the inside, not just on the outside. And that's, you know, I think that the more and more we've heard this month, I mean, it's just crystal clear that, and I think that's, you know, people, our bodies are amazingly resilient. They're amazingly resilient. Yep. They can overcome a lot. And so there's a lot of people walking around thinking, you know, I'm doing okay. I'm, you know, I'm, or they're not desperate to lose weight. They're not whatever.
Sure.
But are they, are you really taking care of your body?
I think it's more that, are you at your optimal level?
Yeah. Right.
You know, so
are you a caterpillar or are you a butterfly? You know? Because caterpillars are okay.
Right.
It's not like it's a bad life as a caterpillar, but you may be a butterfly and you just don't know it. You're walking around, you know, I mean, you're not, if you're not fueling yourself with a really healthy diet and in terms of longevity, you know, there's just no two ways about it. People that, you know, take care of themselves, tend to live longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
You know, I think that it's also, it kind of goes with, sometimes we, you know, humans are really good at, you know, wanting, we want equilibrium, right? We want homeostasis in our body. So we may be accustomed to feeling a certain way, but we don't really realize that we're not feeling good. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, we may be accustomed to not being energetic or not being able mm-hmm. to
yeah.
reach up and grab something, you know, but we think that that's okay. But then usually what happens is that something happens in our life. We either really get feeling bad, or we have an illness, or we go to the doctor and they're like, okay, you got diabetes or pre-diabetes. Something is kind of that pivotal factor. And that's when you start to see people either fade or they get resilient, right? They mm-hmm. change their life, or they fade and they start taking drugs, and there's side effects. I mean, I can remember training a couple of people that were probably younger than I am right now, and they didn't exercise ever. They were overweight and they were on 10 to 20 different prescription drugs.
Yeah.
And it started out as just one or two, but then they had a side effect from one of the drugs. So the doctor yeah. put them on this, and then something to control their water. And they're just walking chemicals, who, you know, their balance is off. It's just really difficult yeah. when you get to that stage in life to rebound.
Yeah. And yeah. people just accept it. That's one of the things that we have found, that people as they age, they just accept that this is what happens.
And right. you don't, and it doesn't.
You don't have to just accept that these things happen. If you actively take part in your life, then
yep.
you don't have to have all the issues that come with aging. I mean, you'll certainly have issues, but you don't have to just sit back and let it happen to you.
Yep. It's all about yep.
my both of my Italian grandparents, my mother's parents, my grandpa lived till he was 99 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, they had to force him to leave his construction job at like 78 because he didn't want to retire. And he always was walking around. I mean, he was healthy. He was mowing his lawn at 90, you know. And my grandmother, his wife, lived till she was 95, 96, and was pretty much cooking and cleaning and doing all that stuff until mm-hmm. the last couple of years. So, you know, I'll have some people who are very resistant to the idea. They're like, well, we're all going to get old and we're all going to die. And I'm like, yeah, we are all going to die. You know, maybe something will happen in the future where we won't, but we are going to die. But number one, what's that quality of life in between going to be? Mm-hmm. Do you want to just be laying around and unable to participate in life? Or do you want to be vibrant and be able to walk around and be happy and laugh? You know, I mean, yeah. I want to be that person. So
yeah. Oh, we hear you. Yeah, absolutely.
we've set ourselves up in that.
I know you guys do too. Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. All about trying to live happier longer. So
well, yep. Tina, well, not everybody is, but yeah. yeah.
Good. Well, I hope they are. Cause I mean, mm-hmm. honestly, that's the thing that we talk about a lot of the time is that, you know, you mentioned it, medicine is most likely going to you're going to see, you know, if you reach the age of 65, you're most likely going to see 85. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't it be nice?
Right. Oh, interesting.
If you were actually happy mm-hmm. about being right. there, you know,
yeah.
you got to take action. It's not you don't
agree.
Get there just because you want to be. You got to take action. So, Tina, it has been
right.
so much fun talking with you today. We
yeah, it's been fabulous talking with you guys.
Appreciate it.
I love what you do. And
awesome.
I love that you're evangelists for health and healthy living.
Yeah. yeah. So the website that our listeners can connect with you on is
okay. Perennial PERENNIAL aging.com.
Perennialaging.com. And they can find yep. you on Instagram under the same name, correct?
Yes. Well, there's a, you know, the underscore between perennial and aging on Instagram.
Okay. Oh, perennial okay. underscore aging. Got it.
Yeah. And then just if I could also throw something else in there, I'm going to yeah. be launching probably in the next 60 to 90 days, a series of healthy living courses.
Awesome. Oh, nice.
And they'll be available on the Teachable platform. And they're going to be kind of multifaceted, talking about different, basically the biggest thing I found out when I was training people is that you can train people till they're blue in the face. You can tell them what to do, but you need to be able to help them throughout the other 23 and a half hours mm-hmm. every day that you're not seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of going to be a guide to planning, establishing, and finding little habits to make your life a little bit healthier by the end of those 30 days.
Awesome.
Oh, nice.
Fantastic. Yeah.
yeah.
So if you have a link for that, we will put it in our show notes, or if there's if it's just through your website still, that's fine too.
Yeah. It'll be on my website and Instagram too. We'll be promoting it on Instagram.
Perfect.
So yeah, I'd
Fantastic.
Love to help people with that.
Awesome. Great. Yep. Well, we appreciate it. And it's only Tuesday, so I guess we're still in the middle of the plant-based week. So I don't know. What are you making for dinner?
Yes, we are.
What are you making for dinner tonight?
Well, tonight we are doing mushroom stroganoff.
Oh, nice. All right.
Yeah. My husband had some dental surgery, so he wasn't able to really eat very much hard stuff. So I asked him today, what do you want? And he's like, coming up with these ideas. And yeah, so I've done it once before. With beans. And so tonight I just bought like a couple of different types of mushrooms. It's going to be delicious.
Fantastic. So, awesome. Yeah. All right. Thanks again, Tina. And
well, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. Tina. It was lovely talking to you guys.
All right. See ya.
And your plants. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Live Happier Longer podcast.
Now it's time to move,
learn,
share,
give,
and let go. 5 daily actions to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See you next week.